The National Nordic Museum over in Ballard has a delightfully special exhibit on view now through mid-February featuring the work of renowned Danish artist Lauritz Andersen Ring on loan from the National Gallery of Denmark. The collection draws inspiration from several themes that L.A. Ring expressed time and again across the course of his career, the broad swaths of talent picked up as he skillfully merged not only late 19th century symbolism, but also the turn of the century social realism. And it was all set against the backdrop of his beloved Denmark. I commend the exhibit to you all. His work still speaks of a layered truth that resonates 100 years on, reaching across the expanse of time and distance from his perspective to ours. Kathy and I visited last week, and we found the collection marvelously curated in a spare, dark-walled room, silent but for a few whispers, allowing the paintings to tell their stories to those viewing them uninterrupted. One of the themes in this L.A. Ring collection is that of waiting. And as we made our visit halfway through Advent, the season of Advent, that waiting theme was not lost on me. And so I want to briefly describe three paintings in the collection here on this third Sunday of Advent. The first one that struck me is entitled Thaw, T-H-A-W, Thaw. It's a small oil landscape in which winter's white blanket frays to reveal patches of dark clods of earthen promise, eagerly waiting to press their gift of fertile hope into action. But one must wait patiently for the seasons to turn. Another portrait, perhaps Ring's best known, is entitled The Artist's Wife in the Garden's Door. In this one, he draws on a scene of a threshold, of a doorway that he often employed in several of his paintings to present a moment of waiting before passing over into what's new and holding on to what is still there. And this masterpiece, this large masterpiece, reveals a transition from inside the door of brightly alive colors, the thick apricot drapes, and the fine yellow linen dress worn by his young wife, and then moves to outside the door, and we can peer through it from our perspective to the darker hues of blue and green in the garden. This garden is in full bloom. It declares a scene of fecundity, of welcome, of beckoning on. And his wife is waiting at the door, leaning against the door frame, peering out into the garden where there are myrtle blooms, mythologically connected to Aphrodite and her profligate fertility. They hang over the young woman's head in replete delight that the dance of spring has ensued. And the artist's wife has a belly gently distended, suggesting she is with child. But the curator's note aside the painting says that this masterpiece was painted 2 years later, or 2 years before she would actually give birth to their only daughter. But she waits at this threshold with her new husband's hope and hers conjugated with full anticipation of what may yet come. And in that moment, as I peered onto that beautiful piece, Mary's Magnificat that we just sang, Mary's Magnificat comes to my mind pulling back the curtain to reveal another threshold, this one between heaven and earth, distant orbits brought close by the courage of a woman who says yes to God. And then I'm reminded that shortly after she sings this song, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth in a country garden. Her cousin Elizabeth, who in her old age is pregnant also. And as they greet one another, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. It's John. He offers the sign that all the waiting has been worth it. And we too are invited to rejoice at the prospect that the door is flung open wide to let this holy child of hope cross the threshold of our fear and bring and enter into our lives anew. That is what Christmas is, the feast of the incarnation, 10 days away. But today, we wait. We wait. Which brings me to the third painting I want to describe. Another threshold scene with a door of a small cottage open, we inside peering out along with an elderly man standing just inside the doorway, peering out and up to the sky, bundled in coat and hat, collar turned up, leaning forward as if he's about ready to step out and yet hesitating, waiting just inside that threshold. The tones for this one are hazy and gray, drab, tired hues both inside and out, suggesting late autumn or early winter. And it's worth noting that Ring painted this one as he approached the end of his own life, mindful of the threshold he would soon cross. The piece is entitled, Has It Stopped Raining? Has It Stopped Raining? And this man peering outside and up to the sky could easily be a resident of Seattle were it not for the umbrella that he holds in his left hand. But whether from Seattle or not, this man speaks his truth to us, older and wiser, as he lingers at the door of uncertainty. Uncertainty about the rain, yes, but also uncertainty about the world into which he is stepping, about the day and what it may hold for him. We can never really know for sure, can we? And in that moment, John the Baptist leaps into my mind, the one we heard about in the gospel this morning, this time older and perhaps wiser, but uncertain too. And from the tenuous circumstance of his prison cell, his spare, dark-walled room, silent but for a few whispers, collar turned up in the cold, knowing he will soon cross a threshold of no return. And in that moment, John murmurs a profound question in humble tones that reaches across the expanse to us. He asks Jesus to help him make sense of his life, his prophetic purpose. Was it all worth it? Has my paving a way made a difference? Did all that time standing in the wilderness and in the turbulent waters of baptismal creeks make a difference? Did the desert bloom while I resided there and I missed it? Can the wilderness of life really be a place of gladness? Are you the one, Jesus? Tell me, so I can make meaning of this life. And Jesus doesn't answer directly, does he? He sends instead a message back of sublime good news, claiming the mantle of another great prophet, Isaiah, whose words John in his cell would have known all too well and would have been comforted by them. Jesus says, John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Good news. Good news. My friends, I fear we risk rendering these good news statements impotent if we take them just as some whimsy to cure a physical ailment, some messianic wave to remove a cataract from an eye, or a tender touch with healing balm to clear a rash. No, there is much more here, much more. Not just physically, but spiritually. You see, physical ailments in Jesus' day were seen as the consequence of sin, spiritual failure, and the divine retribution for that spiritual weakness was the physical disease. It doesn't make sense to us. But it was understood in his day that it rendered them unworthy of God's acceptance, and therefore the punishment gets translated into religious judgment and ostracism. It was a miserable existence, to which Jesus says, there is another way. Good news. And the healing of these represents more than just relief from a physical blemish. It spells restoration into the full relationship with God as was always intended. Good news. Distant orbits of heaven and earth brought close by the courage of people like John, who said yes to God in his own right, as he prepared the way for the one who is to come. And so here we are, 10 days before Christmas. Christmas, that great feast when we rejoice that the holy child of hope is born to us once more. But today, folks, we wait. We wait. We wait. And in the waiting, we are invited to contemplate Mary's courage and Elizabeth's joy and John's humility. We're invited to ponder all these things in our hearts, and we're invited to consider what questions we would bring to Jesus. What might stir us to cross the threshold into a world that yearns for good news, that longs to be restored to the fullness of life, that hungers for the words and actions brought by you and me, as God-bearers in our own right? If we will just be prepared to say yes to God. So on this third Sunday of Advent, who are you waiting for? And how will you know?